If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Hammer from the Rugby Rant Podcast Show, and we have got an absolute thriller tonight on this episode, episode 215. We got a great lineup of guests. I've been working hard to get these folks on. Better known as, they're a representation of what is called the MLR Ambassadors. And if it sounds a little bit like... that small group of maybe a cabal, if you will. It is of sorts. It's a bit of a cabal. It's a group of folks that really talk a lot and communicate a lot just about what's going on in the MLR. It's all positive. We all are looking to improve the league and want to see rugby grow in America. And yes, sometimes we're critical, but we all speak positively about the things going on. And tonight, we've got a great episode. We're going to hit you with Around the Pitch, and everybody's going to bring a little something to the table. And then we're going to hit that big rant today. And this one revolves around the MLR. So I'll explain that in a minute. But I want to introduce each of our guests because we got an exciting crew. So first, I want to welcome to the show Ashley Ardsma. She is a Utah Warrior fan. So each one of us here represents a different MLR community, if you will. And so I want to welcome Ashley to the show. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you.
It's absolutely good to have you from the land of the Utah Warriors. And then we've got none other than the stats guy, James Dealey, once an Arrows fan, still an Arrows fan, hoping that some form of the Arrows comes back. James, it's been a minute. How the hell are you?
Rob, it has been a minute. It's good to be back, and the Arrows will be back. I'm always an Arrows fan.
Good deal. It's good to hear from you. I know that you're starting to slow down a little bit now that the MLR has closed its shop for the 2025 season, but I expect that we're going to see some stats come out with all the internationals coming up, particularly from the USA and Canada, which is where he's from. All right. And then finally, joining the show for the first time ever, just like Ashley, they're both rookies, Dan Henry from the Houston Sabercats. He is obviously wearing his Saber Bro shirt. Dan, welcome to the show, mate.
Hammer, thank you so much for having me. It is an honor and a privilege, and especially to share the screen with these other fine folks that are ambassadors throughout the league. We all share the passion for rugby and the MLR.
Well, again, it is awesome to have you and to be able to provide a platform for you to share your passion, certainly. So we're going to get after it here in a moment and talk about, again, Around the Pitch. And then we're going to hit the rant topic for this week. And the rant topic is the MLR final. I was on vacay for a week. As a matter of fact, when the final was going on, I was on the road traveling down to Southwest Missouri. I actually caught the game in a little barbecue joint in the middle of Aurora, Missouri, which is a no play, you know, really in the middle of nowhere, not far from Springfield. But I've now been able to digest the MLR final, stop throwing up in my mouth from the fact that the New England Free Jacks won the third straight championship.
Painful.
But yeah, it's been a little tough for me to digest that 1-point loss, I will tell you. Nevertheless, we're going to talk about the MLR final, and we're basically going to break down a couple of things. We're going to break down four areas: the gameplay, the event experience, the production and broadcast, and then the attendance and viewership on TV. Before we get to that, I want to just announce our weekly winners from the for the final of the Super Brew. So they won the whole kit and caboodle. And in first is Rich Eggert. He was the winner of a Wales jersey. I would have that graphic up, but I'm struggling with some of my technology here tonight. Second, Travis Bryan. And I'm working on getting you a granite contact top. And then Ryan Seeley. And third, Rigel Hero top and Hero shorts from Macron. So I'm working on getting those out of contact in Macron. I will be in contact with the three of you when those items are being shipped out. But nevertheless, we are going to move forward, and we're going to hit you with an around the pitch here in just a moment and talk about some things that are going on in our each of our own necks of the woods in the rugby landscape. All right, we're back with an around the pitch, and we're going to go around the horn here. And I want to hear from let's start with Ashley. What's happening in Warrior Land out there for you?
Yeah, Warrior Land. So on July 15th, we do have a rugby clinic for youth with the Lady Vipers. And the Lady Vipers did win the D1 championships for 15s. So that's 4 to 5:30 in Taylorsville. You can go to their Instagram page and they have that there, Lady Vipers _. We also have up in more northern Utah, Honeyville, on Wednesday evenings, they're doing a 14 to 18 year old touch rugby at 7:30 every Wednesday in July, potentially in August. And then we also have our Junior Warriors, which is hosted throughout the year. We do a couple clinics during the season, and then I know they do some events also in the off season as well. I just don't have any specific details for that at the time.
Awesome. That's great stuff. As always, I love to hear about the growth of rugby, particularly at the youth levels. If we're going to be successful when the World Cup lands on our shores in 2031, that's where it's going to have to come from. It's going to be grassroots that drives our success in about 6 or 7 years' time. Speaking of grassroots rugby, I know that our friend Dan Henry, the Sabre Bro represented here, wants to talk about what's going on in terms of growth of youth rugby there in the Houston area. So, Dan, what do you got?
Well, youth rugby in the Houston market has been steadily growing over the years. Woodlands Rugby, which is a suburb of Houston, consistently nationally ranked. They played in the national championship this year. Katy Barbarians, another, their Houston suburb, also, you know, typically nationally ranked. So youth rugby is just continuing to grow, and MLR has embraced that. They sent the representative, Kevin Battle, to Houston. He met with the area Houston Independent School District, the middle schools, and starting next year, Houston will add rugby to 36 middle schools' sports packages. It's absolutely huge, and the private schools in the area jumped on board as well. So out in Katy. We're going to have excellent representation with the Katy Barbarians. We're going to have in the Woodlands, Woodlands Rugby Football Club, continuing to grow, continuing to dominate. Now we've got HISD, one of the largest school districts in the country, with 36 middle schools offering rugby as a sports package. It's incredible. And big shout out to Kevin for making this happen.
Man, that is awesome stuff. And again, just like the news that Ashley brought from Warrior Land, it is absolutely great to see the growth of youth rugby, and in particular, Kevin Battle. He's been on the show. He's been a guest. I've interviewed him, and he does a great job growing rugby and promoting rugby around the United States. Awesome stuff to see in Houston. So positive, all positive stuff. We love to hear it. And, you know, let's get around then to James Dealey. He's not, you know, his stats have slowed down a little bit, but I think he has an interesting bit of information that we do want to hear a bit about. And it's, you know, as we talk about a rant, I think this is his rant for the week, if I'm not mistaken.
It might well be, but I just want to give a quick shout out before we get onto that for Brendan Black from the University of Guelph Griffins and former Toronto Arrow. He was the one time youngest player in MLR before it was taken by a certain Houston Sabercats hooker. He's been named to Canada's test squad for the July tests, kind of out of the blue, really. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Brendan Black, who was capped for the Arrows at the age of 18 a couple of years ago. But moving on to, like Rob said, my sort of mini rant for this episode is that it seems to have fallen by the wayside in this kind of build up to the MLR Championship is the S. Marcus Calloway Community Impact Award, or lack thereof of that award. This was a community impact award named after Marcus Calloway, the former majority owner of Rugby ATL, and was from 2022 to 2024 awarded at the MLR Championship to a player who then, you know, has a monetary donation given to a charity of their choice for their work both on and off the pitch. Typically, we are notified of the nominees for this award, one player from each team, about 3 weeks before the final, and then a shortlist is given, you know, a week or so before the championship. None of that's happened this year. So I just want to kind of remind people that this award is a thing, and kind of question, why isn't it happening? I know, you know, as unfortunately Rugby ATL gets further and further into people's memories, it is still a great award and worth recognizing these kind of things. And I'm not sure why MLR seems to have quietly done away with it. It's possible they're aligning it with the other end of season awards, you know, player of the year, forward of the year, back of the year, coach of the year, that kind of thing. But it just seems weird that they've shifted to not awarding it at the championship without really telling anyone.
James, are you surprised by this?
Am I surprised? No. Am I disappointed? A little bit, especially if they don't award it. Am I surprised that MLR have done something sort of shady without telling anyone? No, water is wet. Robert, you good? Rob?
Yeah, I'm having a little technical trouble here. My apologies. Yeah, you know, I guess my thing would be, you know, acknowledge maybe the money ran out for it. I don't know. Acknowledge that, and at least perhaps don't even do a monetary award in the name of the player, just simply, you know, recognize a player for what they've done in their community, and give them some kind of physical trophy or something like that. Even if it's not called Marcus Calloway Award, just simply recognize players for their efforts in their communities doing good work, whether it's, you know, for animal shelters or, you know, for the poor or for handing out, you know, food baskets for needy seniors. I don't know, but it seems like a no-brainer to me. But the lack of transparency is always a concern, right? All right, my around the pitch segment today came to my attention, actually, from somebody that runs close to USA Rugby. So they've asked that their name not be given out. So as a promise to that individual whom I know well, I've promised to keep their name under wraps. But this individual brought a concern to attention, and I'm interested in throwing it out there to this group and just having a little talk about it. And in particular, I'm interested in hearing James Dealey's thoughts because, he is just Canadian. He is of English roots in this. Yeah. Well, it involves the English. So as we all know, the United States, the Eagles will be playing England on July 19th at Audi Field in Washington, D.C. It's a 5 o'clock kickoff. What's come to my attention is that the United States has, through World Rugby, England has made the request that the Eagles actually wear Navy jerseys. And the claim is that England doesn't have they only have their whites. They don't have any alternative kit because they just landed Castori as their official kit provider. Castori has not produced their red kit as it's being, stated by World Rugby. So the Eagles are not able to wear their white kit. Now, the big question here, is this just another case of World Rugby favoring a tier one nation? Because we're the home team, we should be able to dictate what kit we want to wear, right, as the home team. And yet we're not being able to do that. And by the way, I reached out to another member of USA Rugby, whom I know well and who will remain nameless. I apologize, folks. I can't give up all my sources. Otherwise, I wouldn't be trusted. Has said that we actually made the request to wear the whites 2 months ago. So, in spite of that fact, in spite of that request, it's being denied. And we're going to have to wear navies in what will be a very hot stadium. So there it is. I will tell you that England has Navy alternative kit because they wore it last weekend in the match against Argentina, in which they won 35-12. So here's the question that I'm interested in hearing from everybody real quick. Is this something to do about nothing, or is this just another case of tier one nations being favored by World Rugby? So I'm throwing it out there, go around the horn. I'm going to start with the last person that talked about their around the pitch piece, and that's James Dealey. What do you say there, my English-Canadian friend?
So my initial thought was, well, let's just get this out of the way, that World Rugby are a very much, if you're in, you're in, if you're not, you're not. And they love tier one nations, so they tend to kind of try and keep tier two nations down because I don't know why they want the game to die, I guess. But my initial reaction was, well, it's possible that England, as you said, Rob, they don't have their alternate kits ready after just picking up Castore, and they're already on tour. They're already down in Argentina. But you make a great point that they wore those alternate kits last weekend. So I mentioned to you on a message that I think the cynic in me probably thinks it's a World Rugby just picking on the little guy, to be quite honest. But the cynic in me, I sent you a message, Rob, and said, like, is it the fact that England think they're a bigger brand than they are, maybe? And it would be like England wearing white, they always wear white. Is it like the All Blacks wearing black? Like, I don't think a lot of rugby fans in the US would like to go and see the All Blacks and they're playing in those alternate grey kits, for example. That's the only kind of logic I can see behind it. But like I said, the cynic in me wants to say it's probably just World Rugby bullying tier two nations.
Scott kind of said the same thing when he and I talked, is that this is about promoting the England brand. It's a well-known brand, and it's something that garners attention and captivates, the home of rugby, of course, is in England. So why not promote that?
In rugby.
Yeah. But why not come out and say that? You know, why not just say, look, this is the way it is. I guess that's my big question.
Well, I guess that.
But I'm going to turn.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I'll let someone else talk for a bit.
No. Go ahead.
Say, I guess they never wanted any of this to come out. Is my response to that? And they just rather be like, oh, look, we're just playing in whites. You know, it's not a story. Blah blah. But you know, that's not the case.
Well, it's out there. Ashley, yeah. What are you thinking on this one?
You know, I do. It's the origin of rugby. I think it's fantastic, right? You got to support, but it's not about the history. It's about the future. So I think we've got to kind of push that aside, and home team gets advantage on kit choice. USA should be in white. We know they have an alternative kit. So England should be in navy, and there shouldn't be a question. I think it's kind of bogus that, that's not the case. We've got to think to the future, and we've honored, you know, England will be honored for rugby for the rest of time because it's the origins, but got to move on. It's about the future.
Okay. I'll buy what you're selling there. Dan, what are you thinking on this one?
Well, I think we all know that roses wilt in the heat, and it may be very, very hot there that day in Washington, D.C. And, England does not want to get embarrassed on U.S. soil. And if it's a hot day, I don't think their players will be able to match up, even with their experience. It advantage USA.
Yeah, well, and of all the people in this group that should know a little bit about the heat that the summer brings, it's somebody from Houston. And, of course, you'd know better than anybody. I'm not sure if you were at that game in 2000, when I think it was 18, when Scotland was beaten by the United States. And, of course, Scotland was wearing
that game. That's right.
Yeah. Those dark navy jerseys, that can't have been an easy thing to overcome.
Yeah, it was definitely a factor.
Yeah. I agree.
England looks like France when they wear that kit. I don't know why, you know, it's, you know, they need to come up with a better alternative kit, in my opinion.
I'll agree with Dan there. The alternate kit is very weird. I remember, just going off on a tangent here, I remember going up with my dad to Twickenham to see England playing once. Funnily enough, I think it was against Argentina, and they were wearing some god awful gopping purple alternate kit just because they were trying to sell more things, and it was hideous. It was like, why the hell are they playing in these ugly horrible kits that no one, I've never seen one since, put it that way, and this was probably 15-20 years ago. They need good alternates. I don't know why they can't just be
like the
bloody flag.
Well, and we know that the English don't want to look like the frog, so that definitely plays to their disadvantage for sure. But you know, it's funny. I talked with David Fee, and for folks that watch the show, they know that Dave is a good friend of mine. Played for the U.S. Eagles, and he said, you know, it's a 5 o'clock game. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid anyway for both teams. The sun's probably going to be setting. Don't know how much that dark kit is going to make a difference, but he said, here's what it is. It's not atypical, or I should say it's typical for teams to want to get those little mental edges against one another at the international level and play those games. Right. And it's just another case of England leveraging their power in the game as a tier one nation over the United States when they come to our shores. And yeah, they're probably wanting to promote their brand. And he said, another thing that was interesting to me, he said it happened all the time. They would go to, other countries and travel schedules would change and your hotel schedule would change at the last minute. And the host country would say, oh, you know, you got to take an alternative route to get to the pitch today because there's a protest going on at, you know, down the street or whatever have you. And so it was those little ticky-tack things that team used just to get a little bit of an advantage over their opposition. So I'm running with that one. And here's what I'm saying to Rugby Rant fans who are out there. I know many of you will be going to the game at Audi Field in Washington, D.C. Here's what I propose that fans do if you're going to attend. Go to the England Hotel. Find out where it's at, wherever you can. Go to the England Hotel. Bring a vuvuzela. Any kind of noisemaker you can. 3 a.m., gather 100, 200, 500, 1,000 of you outside the hotel, 3 a.m., blow those goddamn vuvuzelas for an hour. An hour.
I like it. I like it.
Right?
Great idea.
Stick your thumb in the eye of the crown, just like we did in 1776.
Stand up. Absolutely. I love it.
And that's how we'll gain a little advantage. So that's what I propose. That would be that would make a statement, and you know, that would bring some fun into the game of rugby. A little something different, a little something unique, perhaps get a little at the very least it'll make headlines in the Washington DC area and draw attention to rugby, the fact that there is a great game going to be had at Audi Field on that's July 19th at 5 o'clock. Get your tickets while you can. So anyway, there we go. Great rundown, not only some great stuff about youth rugby, but also about MLR rugby as well. With that, again, when we come back in a moment, after we hear from our sponsors, we're going to be talking about the MLR final. What do we like? What do we want to see improve? And we're going to start giving some grades out in a couple different areas. And again, I'll recap that here when we return in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to hear a word from our sponsors, of course, and that's the good folks at Macron. All right, we're back for the rant. Once again, we're going to recap this here. We got a great rant ahead of us. We're going to go around the horn as we break down the MLR final in four key areas: game, event experience, broadcast and production, and then attendance and viewership. So we're going to break it down. We're going to give grades in all the areas, and I'm going to ask at the end everybody to give an overall grade based upon those four areas. Give us their thoughts as we get into the rant here at the Rugby Rant with our group of MLR ambassadors. So we're going to be back at you with this quick intro. Here we go. This is the rant today. The MLR final. We have three folks here who attended. James Dealey, I think, took the train down, if I'm not mistaken. That was pretty cool. So everybody here on the panel was selected because they can give us their feelings about what happened inside the stadium, not only for the game, but also just in terms of their overall experience. So I'm going to go around the horn and start to my, I think it's going to be left, with Ashley, who was at the game. Talk about the game. We're talking about the play. We're talking about the officiating. Give us your thoughts and then give it a grade.
Oh, you know, it was a fun game. I was, you know, still a little sour about the Warriors' loss the weekend prior. So I think my overall, I'm a little biased on the way I felt. I mean, it was still fun rugby. Right. You could tell how hard Houston was fighting. You know, the Free Jacks are still a great team, regardless of how much we want to kind of bash on their third championship in a row. But we all feel similarly. officiating, I think, you know, pluses and minuses. My biggest concern watching the game is about safety for the players. And I feel like that was called relatively well at this game. So I'm gonna give them a kudos there, because you know, if you want longevity, you have to make sure that you're protecting players, and safety has to be the number one goal. Even if there's some inconsistencies with some of the nuances, if safety isn't your number one goal, you know, the league's going to suffer from that. So I think from watching the game experience, you know, being in the stadium and that whole thing, I do feel that I would probably give that we'll go an A minus.
All right. A minus from Ashley on the game and officiating. All right. Next up, James Dealey.
I didn't know we were going
to give me your thoughts. I know you've got plenty of them.
Is that a dig? Sure. No, I think I agree with Ashley that the quality of the game was pretty high. I mean, these are the best two teams as whittled down by the rest of the postseason. What's quite funny to bear in mind is that the Free Jacks were never behind in this game. But that doesn't mean it was a bad game. You know, there was one point quite early on that the Free Jacks were up kind of 13-3. And I thought, this could be pretty ugly. But Houston kept coming back and fighting back. And they did that a couple of times at least and stayed in the game. And that made it entertaining for everyone. It made it entertaining for all the neutrals. It made it probably tense for Dan over there. But it was entertaining rugby. It was high quality, entertaining rugby. On officiating, there's one kind of massive incident where it was the Houston Sabercats. Well, it wasn't really an incident, decision, I suppose. Houston Sabercats were dominant at the scrum and were unable to choose the scrum to go for another scrum, which I don't really see how that benefits the game or the sport at all. I don't really understand the logic behind Rogan saying you couldn't do that and they had to go for the corner and ultimately they didn't convert off the line out, which was just a very strange decision. I don't really know what the logic was there, but that's the officiating. The game itself was really, really good. I think I'll probably agree with Ashley. Like, it was A minus to B on the game and officiating.
Yeah, some great points you brought up, and it's interesting how that one new law change came into effect in the penultimate game. And I'm not sure that we saw that happen too much throughout the season. So it's rather interesting. All right, Dan, you were there. You had a skin in the game, so to speak, that you're, you know, rooting for your Sabercats. What were your thoughts in the game and the officiating?
Well, I don't want to be a sore loser, but as you, I'm sure, can relate, I am a sore loser. And so I had to go and of course watch the replay. And I thought it was questionable at the time. I love Luke. I think he is one of the best referees out there in the game. And I understand where a referee does not want to be the deciding factor, especially in a championship game. The referee doesn't want to be where they make the influence that changes the outcome of the game. But the yellow card, that should have resulted in a penalty try. And at that point, Houston would have been up by one. And instead, the ball ended up getting turned over. And it was just a huge momentum change for New England at that point. And I think that was a critical moment in the game. Both teams left it all out on the pitch. It was just a battle going back and forth. As James mentioned, Houston was down. They clawed back. Then New England went ahead, then Houston clawed back. And it really wasn't until the final whistle that the outcome was determined. And that's what you want, especially in a championship game. So I give the game overall an A. And Luke, my friend, I got to give you a C. That was a tough, tough, tough decision. And I know, you know, he's probably watched the replay and said, yeah, maybe I should have given that penalty try there.
Wow, a C. Okay, interesting. And James, I didn't catch it. What grade did you give the game?
I agreed with Ashley in like an A minus to B plus. The game itself was brilliant. I just thought some of the officiating decisions, like Dan said, no ref ever wants to be the deciding factor, but I think maybe inadvertently, that was the case, arguably.
Yeah. Interesting. My take on it was this. I thought it was an exciting game. It was a close game. Dan talked about that, a very good game. But if you, you know, as a teacher, I think A is one of those things where it's like you make it hard to get an A. To get an A, you really have to do your best work. And I guess I would say that, like, there were no lead changes in this game. New England put, points on the board right off the cuff, and then stayed up in the game. That was a very much a contrast from the Eastern Conference final, where there were back and forth. There were some lead changes exchange. The Free Jacks came back from 17 points down. It came down to that, sudden death kick at the end. Everybody on the edge of their seat. Of course, nobody saw it live. But that to me is like an A+ game right there. So I take that into account with the fact that, I wanted Luke Rogan to be the official in this match. And this, quite honestly, wasn't his best game. Officiating is hard to do, and it's hard to be consistent. I've been there. I've done it. It's hard to be consistent. But I just think he missed a few calls at some key moments. That scrum was one of them. I think there was a New England clear knock on at the 24-25 minute mark, which I thought was a clear knock on. And I was surprised that the TMO nor any match official or AR caught that. And I was a little disappointed, and then there was an obstruction by Conradi, I believe, on number who was the eight man for New England on Schumacher under high ball. He was looking up for it, and at the last moment he turned his back, and then he turned into Schumacher, who couldn't retrieve the ball at all. And then the run of play was picked up by New England. And I just think, given, those clear situations, I was a little disappointed. But here's what I will say. This was a battle between two 15s. And here's what I loved about this matchup at the 15s. Two domestic 15s. You had Canadian 15. You had an American 15 that both of them played out of their skins. Webster deserved the player of the match honors.
100%.
But both of them scored tries. Both of them were heroes under the high ball. I thought both of them played extremely well. And that was the matchup that I absolutely loved. For that reason, I'll give it a B+ overall. All right. So there we go. We've got an A from Ashley. James is giving an A- B+. Dan Henry's giving it a C, and I'm giving it a B+. So we'll see where this takes us.
Yeah. Plus,
I gave the officiating a C.
Okay.
The officiating, I gave the game an A.
Oh, the game was an A. Okay. All right. So we're in A land right there between all of us. Okay. Officiating a C. Sorry, Luke. You were not.
Sorry, Luke, man. I love you.
All right. What about event experience? I'm out on this.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
This one. I have no grade. I wasn't there. Can't tell you. I'll give some thoughts, but my grade isn't worth the hill of beans because I wasn't there. But you guys were. So I'm going to go back around the horn. Dan, I'm going to start with you. You were there. What was that experience like up there in Providence, Rhode Island, in Pawtucket, if you will? Tell us about it.
So, fantastic venue, and where they had the pregame and the fan experience at the Guild, wonderful host. The experience was really a well put together. MLR representatives did themselves proud. I give it an A+. I really enjoyed the venue, and I really enjoyed the fan experience. And what I really enjoyed most was the Sabre Bros kicking the shit out of the New England First Regiment in the boat race. We just completely dominated. Go Bros. Yes.
Nice. Nice. Good to see. All right. We know you guys can drink with the best of them. Absolutely.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right. So an A plus from Dan Henry. All right. James, what do you got?
Well, I agree with Dan for the whole kind of the atmosphere at the stadium and the fan fest. I think the fan fest was a brilliant addition this year. It's something that MLR hasn't ever done before. They kind of made it into a festival of rugby over the course of 2 days. And that's where I spent most of my time. Friday, there were some excellent panels. There were some discussions with both the finals, the captains of the Free Jacks and the Sabercats, as well as the head coaches. There were a load of panels. There was also an innovation scrum, although I'm not fancy enough to get an invite to that, so I didn't know what that was about. And there were just really like lots of things going on, lots of informative panels about, you know, the future and the state of rugby. There's lots of stuff about the game the following day. And, you know, just really everyone there is obviously a hardcore rugby fan. So it's really, you've immediately got something to relate to. I met Dan and Ashley there and, you know, it was fantastic. We got pretty messy on the Friday night. So it was good fun. One thing I will say is that the travel hub of Providence / Pawtucket is not ideal for like a national final. There is, at least nearby the stadium in Pawtucket, there is, from what I can tell, one hotel, which was obviously sold out. So we were chatting just before we started recording this this podcast. I was staying near Fenway Park, actually, in Boston, and relied on a train to get down to Pawtucket, which seemed to run whenever it wanted to. You know, sometimes it was an hour between trains, sometimes it was two, three. And if I miss that train, then I'm screwed. There's no way for me to get back to my hotel. So while the stadium is beautiful and it's stunning, I mean, it's only two months old. The host city isn't ideal for, I mean, it's fine for New England fans because they're down the road. But let's say, for example, Houston, not ideal for traveling fans. But like I said, to start with, the fan fest was superb. The venue itself was immaculate. The pitch is gorgeous. But the host city and the lack of kind of a real travel hub really kind of brings it down for me. So I've got to say like a B minus.
B minus. Interesting. Okay. All right. Ashley, are you going to break this tie for us and give us give some kind of clarity? You were there. You obviously threw down on Friday night with James and Dan.
Saturday, I threw down. Friday, I was actually at Fenway. We went to the Red Sox game. So
okay.
Me and four ladies, we made a whole weekend out of it. And due to the point that James made of there just not being a whole lot going on around the Providence Pawtucket area, we based our weekend in Boston and rented a car because it was the, we'll say, simplest way to do it. And we really had like a weekend in Boston and we happened to be going to Pawtucket for the championship because it, you know, it's just inconveniently placed. There's just not a lot of places to stay. Once you're there, there's not, outside of Fan Fest, there's not much else to do, you know, from a like really getting people together. And for that reason, we made a weekend in Boston and we went to the MLR championship, but we didn't make a weekend in Providence and Pawtucket. And I think that will lower the grade as well for me, because, you know, if you want everybody there, you want everybody there all 2-3 days. It should be one place, one event and a bajillion people. So that being said, the Fan Fest itself was super fun. The Guild was great. Yeah. All the sponsors that were there, the food trucks, the brewery, the people. I mean, I saw some people with Hounds jerseys on. I grew up just south of Chicago. One of my teammates from Chicago, she's a season ticket holder over there, Shelby. And so I was like, oh, I got to go say hi to my Hounds fans, you know. And we were at university at the same exact time. And he played men's rugby and I played women's rugby and we'd never met each other. And we met in Pawtucket. So it was kind of like just all those fun little rugby connections. You create that kind of small world. And it really felt like a home away from home inside of the Guild, inside of the stadium. But everything else surrounding it was just kind of bummed. The shuttles were great that they ran between the Guild and the stadium. Those were clutch. I think they needed to run a few more. Would have been a little helpful for sure, because there was enough people that were at Fan Fest that, you know, one bus that's kind of making laps didn't seem like, or two maybe, especially right close to game time was a little crunch. because it was just a good time. So yeah, I'm gonna have to give it C+. I was really bummed about not being able to make a whole weekend in one place out of it, needing to rent a car. You know, it was inconvenient.
Gotcha. Now, real quick before I give my thoughts here, Ashley, where are you from in the Chicagoland area?
I grew up just south of the city in Tinley Park.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. I know the area well.
I've lived in Utah for 12 and a half years, though. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're still a Southsider. All right.
I am. For life. I'll claim it.
Yep, you're a lifer. All right. My thoughts, and again, I wasn't there, so take these folks with a grain of salt. But I just think about, I think ahead of time, one of my big concerns was getting there. And I was assured by people from the area that, hey, it's no problem. It's 35, 40 minutes away from Boston. Easy peasy. You can get there back and forth. The flights are easy. And I'm like, you know what, though? The flights are not that frequent, and the flights are expensive. And for folks at that late of hour when the venue is announced to get there and get reasonable flights was not optimal. I've heard that there wasn't a lot of hotels in the area. That's a problem too. You want to, you know, isn't the draw to that area when they host that people are going to be, you know, staying and shopping and eating and dining and drinking and all those things in the area to bring revenue in to, you know, that Pawtucket area? Doesn't seem like that occurred if people are staying in Boston. We got to remember, folks, that the MLR put this production on. This was not led by a city. In the last 2 years in which it was a neutral site, what's called a predetermined site, both Chicago and San Diego bid for it. So it did a couple things. Number one, they were responsible for marketing and being the boots on the ground. So given that fact, I think we just saw a very different production. These things were awesome. The Jock Fuel Station, I mean, they brought in and incorporated their sponsors into everything going on. That's what you want to do. You want to ingratiate your sponsors so you can get them to come back and get new ones, better ones the next time around. I'm hearing that, you know, it wasn't a full stadium. We'll get to that later. But, you know, could you have gotten a full stadium if you have a local marketing team that's really marketing it to the Boston and, you know, the greater New England area? The Hounds did that in 2023 to get Chicago people there. What about a music headliner? No, you can't afford Shaq. I get that. But can you afford a local, a popular local act to that area, like a Boston, popular Boston act that's not like Aerosmith, but it's a more, you know, kind of it's a local popularity. So in Chicago, it would have been something like Lucky Boys Confusion, you know, which is not nationally nearly as much known, but it is known to folks in Chicago. And as Ashley indicates, yeah, that would be a great act. So you draw maybe not so much of the rugby fan, but more of a fan that's going, hell yeah, for 30, 40, 50 bucks or whatever for a ticket to that, I'll go see Lucky Boys or I'll go see whatever band it is. And I'll also take in a rugby game. The one thing I would like to say on this is I struggle with, you know, that pregame at the bar. They should have done that at the venue. And I get why they did it at the bar, but you want to build up, you know, like you have a 2-hour gap between the pregame and then the game, and you kind of lose momentum. Do it at the venue and it leads right into the game, and you've got momentum carrying folks who are watching from home, i.e. me, carry them into the game. Turf. That's the one thing I didn't like about the venue. Beautiful venue, right size, you know, everything else, great backdrop with the river back there, but not a fan of the turf for the final. I mean, you have the penultimate game, played on a place that has grass. And then finally, announce it. And I realized that the venue wasn't completed when the season started. But I think that's a must in the future. Announce it the first week of the MLR season, so people have time to prepare and get themselves there and get their, you know, lodging and get their flights and everything taken care of. So, you know, for me, I would say a B, you know, but I think there's a lot of room for, you know, a lot of easy stuff that can be fixed, but the MLR did a great job handling this in many ways, just in terms of the overall event. All right, let's get to broadcast and production. I'm going to go back, start with Ashley. If you have a chance to go back and watch it, what did you think?
I didn't go back and watch it.
Okay. Fair dinkum.
So I have no thoughts, but I enjoyed speaking with the broadcasters that were there on site.
Yeah.
Afterwards, or like, you know, during halftime, and well, it was mostly afterwards. I tried to get their attention at halftime, but yeah, I mean, it was fun to chat and kind of get some histories and see how connected each of the sportscasters were to the game and the passion you could see behind, you know, them doing it. So that's the only thing I can speak to.
Gotcha. Okay. So are you willing to give it a grade or not?
No, I will remain abstained in this one.
Okay. We've got an abstention vote. Okay. James, what do you got?
I was going to say, I think this might be a reverse of the last category, Rob, because I didn't go back and watch it either. What I will say to Ashley's point about meeting all the broadcasters is I just want to shout out Ben Holden, who I finally got to meet after trying to meet at the last final I was at in Chicago. I finally got to catch up with him both on the Friday and on the Saturday. And I just think that Ben is fantastic at what he does and is, you know, is I think he was doing the final, but deserves to do the final. He's a great guy. He's really interested in rugby. We got to talk about hockey as well. Obviously, I'm in Toronto, so kind of a thing. And it's just, it was really, really great to meet him. And that kind of feeds into Ashley's point. But like Ashley, I didn't watch the broadcast, so I can't really say anything. Wouldn't really say abstain, but in the UK, we used to have ungraded, a U. Just if you didn't,
we don't have that, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's like unsatisfactory it. For us.
Yeah, it wasn't great, yeah. I tell you.
All right, Dan, what do you got? Broadcast and production.
Looks like I'm the only one that, you know, did get a chance to watch the replay, and it's just way too slanted towards New England. I like, good God, you know, at least throw a few kudos towards the Cats, you know, but it was it seemed to be very, very slanted. They wanted a three-peat, I think, is what they wanted. They wanted that history being made. And yeah, so I was a little bit disappointed in the way that they seemed to favor New England, as it were.
Well, all right, what kind of grade are you giving it then, Dan?
Based on that, I'm going with a C.
C. Got it. Yeah. Okay. There we go. And reminder, now start to think about just giving that quick grade at the end, taking everything into consideration, because we're getting there very quickly. I'm going to say this. I did have to watch it because I wasn't able to get there. I love the backdrop with the river, but I don't know that it was the best angle to captivate the fans on camera. You know, it did look a little bit empty at times when they reversed and flipped it. So you were looking at the big grandstands. No, the big grandstands at top weren't filled, but the bottom was very filled. And you know, I just I think that a lot of fans were standing around the fence line, that had they been put in seats, it would have looked a little bit better on camera. But that's, you know, that's just my thoughts on that. I absolutely love the product overall. Like, as I watch from home, I think that the MLR got it right. And they have a formula for perhaps how to do feature games in 2026. If the league had more money, they should do a product like they put on at the final once a week for the game of the week. Identify the game of the week. Maybe it's a flex like the NFL. That's where the money comes in. But game of the week, where you have a pregame, right? I thought Stabby and Corbs did a great job on the pregame analysis. You saw them at halftime and you saw them in the postgame, right? So you got a lot of different perspectives. You had, of course, the broadcast team, which I'll get to. But that's what a game of the week should look like. When you have some in-depth analysis, you have players that have been there, done that, that are giving their thoughts, that's perhaps a little different from your broadcast team. Now, I will say that, and no offense to James, but I will say I wish it was a little bit more North American focused. And by that, I mean, Stabby and Corbs are both funny talkers, as we say in America, as was Dallin Stanford, as was Will Hooley. And no offense to all those guys. I think they were phenomenal at what they do. My point is, if we're trying to grow the game in North America, I think we need to, you know, like, that's why I love Ben Holden. I agree with you, James. That's why I love Ben Holden, is that he's an American voice that is slowly becoming the voice of rugby here in America. And it's normalizing rugby in that American rugby voice for American fans. I'm not saying get rid of all of those guys. I'm just saying balance it a little bit. And that's why I love the Petri Hooley balance in the broadcast itself, in the actual broadcast. I think they did a phenomenal job backing up Ben. And Ben did a great job. And I think he was the guy that actually did the USA-Belgium match too. So I think they've got a formula. Now, do they have the money to do that each week? No. What I think they should do with the ESPN deal, identify those five games and do this exact production in those five games. Invest some money and drive people perhaps to that pregame, post-game analysis, drive them to the Rugby Network. You know, if they can't do it on ESPN, drive them to the Rugby Network. But this is what we should look for. So overall, I thought it was an A. I thought it was great. All right, let's go to the last category, attendance and viewership. James, you haven't got a chance to start yet, so I'm going to start with you, and then I'll bounce between Ashley and Dan.
Sure. So attendance and viewership is going to be, you know, this grade is not going to be like my others. The last couple of MLR finals in 2023 in Chicago was just over 10,000 in attendance. 2024 in San Diego was just over 12,000. I believe that's still the MLR record for a game. Now, Centerville Bank Stadium's capacity was about 10,000. And I'm guessing part of the logic of having it there was, hey, if we know we can get a 10,000 seater crowd, this is going to look great when it's full. The attendance was 5,700, so it was roughly half full. And I mean, part of that might be, as we mentioned earlier, that the transit hub of Pawtucket, Providence, isn't great for traveling fans. You know, there are, for me in Toronto, which isn't even as far as Ashley or Dan had to travel, there were no direct flights to Providence, to anywhere in Rhode Island. I would have to go through Dulles in Washington. So instead, I just went to Boston and spent the weekend in Boston, like Ashley did. That might put people off, but what's really confusing to me is that the Free Jacks are just up the road, and every single home game for the Free Jacks in Quincy, that place is rammed. It's bursting at the seams because there's just not enough room for all the people. But the capacity of that is about 4,500 to 5,000, and 5,700 turned up to the final. So I don't understand, is Quincy okay to travel, but Providence, Pawtucket too far? I don't understand what the logic is there, what the reasoning is there for people not coming down. I also think part of it is, as Rob was saying, the venue wasn't announced until end of June, I think, in 2020. No, sorry, end of April in 2025, mm-hmm. before the stadium was finished in May. That was probably because they wanted to make sure the stadium would get finished in time. I don't know what their contingency plan was if it didn't, but luckily we'll never find out. But I agree with Rob that it should be announced way, way earlier. I actually think it should be announced possibly when the schedule is released, which is typically around December. Possibly, the idea that came up with it while Rob was talking about it earlier is, hey, look, training camps open the first week of January. By the way, here's the final. You know, really get like, players are arriving. Here's the final. Like, get it all in at once. Admittedly, that means they have to start talking about that now. But like, it's the off season now. There's no games to plan. There's a draft. But come on. So that was just talking on the attendance. On the TV ratings, there's some figures flowing around about out there that their TV ratings on ESPN2 were well below even 100,000. So a figure I saw was 78,000, which includes, I think it was either French or Spanish broadcast, but ESPN2 alone was 68,000, which is, to be frank, dreadful. The last couple of MLR finals have been around the 200, 250,000 mark. Even that's been quite low compared to historic finals. But to say it's under 70,000 is really, really bad. And that might be because ESPN have done... Now, okay, let me preface this by saying I'm in Canada. I watch on the Rugby Network. I haven't experienced any of the ESPN deal. But it seems like ESPN Plus games are down a rabbit hole and hard to find. And ESPN themselves are doing nothing to actually shout out the game. So I think those are contributing factors to the low ratings. But the ratings are terrible. TV ratings, the attendance was about half. I think, you know, my overall for TV ratings and attendance, my overall grade is an E.
A D as in donut.
E for elephant. Even worse.
Even worse. All right. We don't have that in the American grading scale, but we'll...
Oh, you don't? Well, then just go straight to F.
An E?
Different regions use E. Different regions use F in the States.
Okay. All right. So E or an F, we'll got it. Okay. That sounds good. Thank you, Ashley, for interpreting the Canadian American rating system. all right. Ashley, what do you got for a grade in the category of attendance and viewership?
Attendance, the stadium felt empty. I mean, it was, you like look around, you're like, is this really the final? Like the party was fun. We were all intimate. It was a small space, but once you got into the stadium, it did feel empty, which kind of hurt the vibe a little bit. So, you know, not super impressed with the total number of people that showed. We've already discussed, you know, from the stats guy, the numbers. We've talked about the difficulty or the lack of being in the area, you know, from a viewership standpoint. I did watch quite a few games on the road on ESPN Plus with the streaming, and it doesn't pop up under live. You have to go find MLR to get to the game. And if you don't know it's there, you're not. So it's, you know, they made it hard. And a lot of people would call me and be like, gosh, I'm trying to watch this game. Like, what the heck? I'm like, scroll down to sports, scroll over to MLR, click on that, game will be right there. But it really should pop up on live like everything else does, your collegiate sports. So it would indicate, you know, it felt buried, felt like, well, we made this deal, but like, we don't want to advertise it. We're not sure if it's going to stick around. And it was, you know, unfortunate. So from a attendance at the game, uncomfortably empty was the feeling that I had without knowing all the numbers and viewership, knowing how challenging it was for me to watch the game. Also knowing that there was quite a few disgruntled fans that I don't think were really interested in watching the championship specifically, which could just be, you know, some of the frustrations out of Utah. I can't speak to everywhere else, but I know there were a chunk of people that had no interest in watching the final, unfortunately. So I wasn't surprised viewership was down. Hearing the numbers at how down it is, terrifying. So I'm going to give it a C-.
C-. Okay. All right, Dan, where are you at on this one?
I got to echo what James said again about, I think, and Ashley said about ESPN Plus, because it's just not easy to watch. I don't know if we can get, you know, the Turner Network or, you know, if we had Atlanta still there, if they could coerce TNT into covering the games. But ESPN, I don't think is the answer with the format they're using. Rugby Network was I thought a lot easier to use. But as far as a national broadcast, it's to get that turnout was abysmal, being that close to New England. I think viewership would have been greater if Chicago hadn't doinked and had been able to.
Ouch.
You know, that that was a game I think people were hoping for, was Chicago Houston, because it was a great game at the beginning of the season, when Chicago came in after
and at the end of the season.
And so I would give the grade myself. I would echo the C on that. It was just a very poor effort, I thought, on the MLR in getting people to the stadium. And then even worse on the broadcast level, getting people to watch the game at home.
Yeah, interesting. So, you know, thus far, two C's and an F or an E, wherever you're from. My thoughts on this, obviously, you have to be a little bit frustrated by attendance. They haven't figured out the formula of how to, we thought they'd figured out the formula, but clearly they haven't figured out the formula. I think, again, part of that comes down to the host city have a vested interest in seeing a well-attended game. I can speak to Chicago, the final that I've been at. And, you know, because the Hounds, you know, they had skin in the game, they had money in the game, because they were going to be the host and they were running the show. They did a lot to market it. And again, I think that's where you bring in at the very least a popular local act as the final, you know, concert, so to speak. I think that's the formula that'll bring people through the gates who aren't necessarily there, 100% for the rugby, but they certainly will enjoy it as a part of the entertainment. I think they need to announce at the beginning of the season. I don't know if I like the idea of announcing the schedule, James. I thought about that, and I think really, you know, they need to use the NFL formula in terms of sprinkle your news out throughout the season strategically. And so for me, you know, you announce the schedule, and then I think you hit the nail on the head, maybe coming out right at the beginning of January. Now you've got a piece of news. Hey, here's where the final is going to be. Perhaps that's the formula. Get it out there early. Had the venue at least had all the lower seats been full, I think it would have looked much better. Obviously, they thought they could fill it with 10,000. And I just think the location of Pawtucket is a little tough for a lot of folks, as we talked about. As far as the viewership, I'm torn. I got to tell you, ESPN, here's the one thing that provides. It provides access in bars. You know, you can't get, you know, most bar owners that I know, and granted, I don't know a lot, but the ones that I do know don't have a streaming mechanism to do the rugby network and that's what I struggle with a lot. And that being said, they don't have ESPN Plus in a lot of places, although I think it's a little bit more accessible than the Rugby Network. I was able to catch the final because it happened to be on in a remote location in Aurora, Missouri. And that's how I was able to watch the final when it was going on. And that doesn't happen without ESPN. So, you know, I'm torn on that one. I want to see I think the MLR is hedging their bets that this is the long play. They want to get on a sporting network that has a, you know, obviously is uniquely intertwined in the American sports landscape. And they're hoping that ESPN provides it, but I think they need some assurances as to how the ESPN is going to present it, because Ashley, you're right. It is buried, and it is even buried for me. And I watch games every week, 2-3 times a week. And yet that MLR logo doesn't show up front, or those live games don't show up at the top of my streaming platform. And they should, I mean, some techies out there got to know how to work the matrix and how to work all the technology so that for us that watch on a consistent basis, it shows up at the top of our streaming platform, for crying out loud. So overall, I would give it a D. Okay. So if going around the whole, what's
just
that?
Real quick to add to that, Rob, I would like to see next year if they could have a game of the week that ESPN2 covers, just pick one game during the week, have that nationally broadcast. I think that would be a good recipe for success.
100%. I agree with that. Even if it's not the full on production, like I talked about, it put it on ESPN2 and get it out in a little bit more of the mainstream. All right, let's go around the horn. Overall grade. Okay. And I'm going to start down with Dan and I'll end with myself. Dan, what do you got? Overall grade.
Overall grade. I'm going to go with a B.
Okay. A B. All right. So you had a A, two A's, two C's. That's about right. All right. Okay. James Dealey, what do you got, brother?
I think despite, you know, ranting about the ratings and the viewership and the attendance, I think I'll agree with Dan and go for a B. I had a fantastic time. It's only since coming back and kind of thinking about it in hindsight that I've gone, well, the viewership wasn't great. The attendance was a bit disappointing. At the time, it was brilliant. I had a great time. It was fantastic. So B.
Gotcha. And you're great in those two. The gaming event experience would kind of would demonstrate that B, would justify that B. It was just kind of in the broadcast and production piece, which is the area that you really struggled with it. And by the way, I've heard rumors, folks, that there's a consideration for making Pawtucket like that would be the location every season.
I've heard for maybe another season, but okay. Every season is an interesting.
Yeah. Every season sounds like a very not appealing idea.
Yeah. And I don't want to go too much around this, but I guess I'd say, like, I love the, if they had it in one location, even if it was no other MLR city and they had it there every year and you could count on it, like, you know, old faithful James, that's a big geyser here in the United States that is very, very regular.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyway. So I don't mind that. I just think it's tough to get to Pawtucket. All right. So
the temperature
we've got
was fantastic there. It was great rugby weather. It was phenomenal rugby.
That's true. That's true. Like, how about like Minneapolis?
That would at least be in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. It's in the middle. And by the way, they could do it with the Vikings, their practice facility.
That's where the Legacy Cup was, the TCO Stadium.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Their practice facility. Yeah. I've been there for a pro lacrosse league and it was brilliant. It really was brilliant. Overall great vibe, you know. Anyway, B overall from James. All right, Ashley, what do you got? Overall grade,
B minus.
Okay, you got an A, C plus, and a C minus. That's pretty accurate for a B minus. All right, any parting thoughts on that one?
I mean, I think if they're gonna do it in Pawtucket again, I think there's a lot of opportunity to build, but they have to find a way to get everybody in the region, whether it's packages, some sort of thing. And they need to start planning it now because you want everybody there. You got to be physically in the space, the train system, everything else, you know. God bless the fact that we had a DD, because otherwise, like, I would have been finding James on the train somewhere, you know, maybe.
It'll get me awake.
We could have been friends on the train. So, yeah, I think there's potential to at least for sure improve, obviously, on getting everybody into that place for the weekend and creating a reason. But, yeah, solid B minus. You know, I want to be at the final every year. I think it's something that's going to continue to grow. I want to continue to promote. It should only get better. So.
Got it. All right. I like it. Well, you had an A.
Just on Ashley's point there, can I?
Yeah, absolutely, James. Throw it in there.
Absolutely. I don't have a team anymore. The one game a year I want to go to is the final.
Yep.
But on the idea of packages, I think that's a brilliant idea. And I just want to raise again something I tweeted out a while ago. Everything the MLR were pushing was the MLR playoffs presented by sportsbreaks.com, who are a package holiday provider for sports games. But they didn't offer any packages for the MLR final.
Right.
That is an absolutely phenomenal point, James. I'm so glad you brought that up. So glad you brought that up. An important piece. So, Nick Benson, we know you've been shying away from the rugby rant, even though you pay homage to Nick McCarthy quite frequently. But if you're listening, take James's. You know, I mean, he offers his services a lot from what we understand, but at least take this particular point into into your thoughts as you guys plan for next season. Overall, I'm going to go myself with a B as well. I think that, for everything you guys said, this is why this panel was here. This is why this panel was a great one, is because you guys were so thorough in your thoughtfulness and your introspection on this. No matter your leanings, whether you're from Utah or Chicago and were shunned by not having your team there, or you were Dan and a Saber bro and disappointed that the fix was in for the New England Free Jacks all along because they wanted a three-peat, or you're just the neutral guy who had trouble getting from Toronto to Pawtucket and probably could have jogged there quicker than the trains ran from Boston. But nevertheless, all really, really great points. I'm so glad you guys brought it up, because this was a great discussion about the MLR final. You guys broke it down very well, and I want to thank each and every one of you for bearing with my technological challenges tonight and willingness to hang in there and provide some great insights, because you knocked it out of the park. You guys get an A in my book. There you go. Book it. Yeah. So
my first one ever.
Yeah, yeah. First one ever. I sure hope you weren't getting E's, or as we know in America, F's. But nevertheless, thanks for joining. You guys were awesome. As you know, James been on quite frequently. Ashley, Dan, you guys are welcome back anytime. I would love to, Scott, I would love to have you on. We're going to be breaking down some stuff as we progress through the international season. So I'm going to hit you guys up. You guys did a phenomenal job in your first foray. If the rugby rant had caps, I would be sending one to you. Maybe that's all I have to work on. Send rugby rant caps.
I'll be waiting. I'll expect it anytime you get it designed.
Yeah. It was an honor. Thank you, Rob. It was truly an honor. Ashley, James, great seeing you guys again. Look forward to next year.
I do. Likewise. Yeah. Very much fun. I thank you again. This has been fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I always thank you guys for your support. Your insights are wonderful. By the way, anybody coming to Chicago in November?
I will be in Iowa.
I wish. What is it? $2,000 a ticket?
No, man. Well, my ticket was $100, but the fees that went along with it was $50 a piece. So
silly.
It was silliness. But, and I should have mentioned this earlier, if anybody is coming to Chicago, join me and Scott. We will be at the rugby party at Reggie's downtown. Wow. Starting at 9:00. We're doing a live show from Reggie's. Then you can take a shuttle from Reggie's to Soldier Field, where the All Blacks are playing Ireland. It's going to be an absolute blast. Then you get your shuttle back. You won't have the problem with Ashley. You can get your buzz on throughout the day and not have to drive. Let Reggie's be your designated driver and your alcohol provider all in the same day, and get your kicks with the Rugby Rant podcast crew. And TJ is going to be joining us. We're going to have lots of special guests. It's going to be freaking awesome. So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. But thank you guys for joining. Go ahead, Ashley. What's up?
PNC finals in September out in Utah. Yes. If anyone's coming, let me know. I'll be at the game. We'll do a whole pregame. We're going to figure it out and plan something. So feel free to reach out.
Yeah. The first round's on Ashley, from what I understand. So
If I can make one final point, yeah, is Alana Marr is up for an ESPY. Please to vote for her as vote early, vote often.
Yeah. Man, it's a good thing I'm not 28-year-old rugby playing male anymore. But she's awesome. I love her. All right, folks. Thanks. I appreciate you guys. Wonderful, wonderful analysis. I couldn't have picked any better group of people to do this podcast. So brilliant. And we'll be hitting you up as we progress throughout the rest of the 2025 rugby season. Thanks again, and folks, join us. We're going to be hitting you with another pod. We're going to be breaking it down in August. I'm going to take a little bit of a break probably, but we're going to be, TJ is going to be joining me, assistant coach for the Chicago Hounds. Todd Dammers is going to be joining me. We're going to be breaking down the British and Irish Lions tour. you know, our thoughts on that. That'll be coming around sometime in early August. So look forward to that. And we're going to keep the, you know, keep the content coming, because we know that's why you guys come back to the Rugby Rant. So looking to, you know, promote rugby, to grow rugby one fan at a time. And it helps to have folks like Dan, James, and Ashley joining us. So with that being said, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see everybody at the next. Here we go.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.